Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this week's episode is sponsored by Abandoned on PS5. I am definitely not Hassan Karaman in a trench coat. And with me, I have...
Still no Donda, because this ARG is just as bad as Abandoned by now. God damn.
And...
What the fuck's a yik-yak?
You don't need to know.
No, Nick.
Just save the mental real estate. You could use it to, you know, spend more time thinking about Griselda or something.
Wait, isn't Yik Yak that really, really bad indie RPG game that everyone hated?
I don't know.
Yik something.
Either way, we don't speak of it. Because everybody knows there's only one video game in the world, and it's Abandoned on PS5. The internet. It's just, whatever the fuck is going on with that thing, it's obviously pissing everyone off by now. Was it worth it? Was it? But anyways, here we are, episode 234. Ooh, nice progression of numbers. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Well, my week involved a lot of time crunch stuff with, you know, at the computer. It's been a very long week for me, long stretches of work going on. Went to, there was a WWE house show that came around last weekend. I went there with a couple of my old friends from high school. Turns out I'm the most normal of all of us. It's hard to believe, but yes, I'm actually the most stable. I'm like Cool Hand fucking Luke around here. And, it's just more of the usual stuff, I guess. I'm ready for, you know, a week where I don't have to, you know, do a whole lot of stuff on here. Just gotta get through one more show, and then I'll have some time to myself.
Anime industry keeping busy.
Yep.
Yeah. Everything that happened in a span of a week.
Yikes.
Yeah, industry. Just to fuck with you.
Anyways, Mark, what about you?
Well, not much. I've just been the usual work going back to normal. And on a subject of albums that's not Donda. So, remember a few months back, Rob, you sent me a tweet about a certain artist releasing some music this August.
Oh yeah,
What was his name again?
Pretty sure it was Ka.
Aha! Yep. And lo and behold, on the day while enjoying the new Bullet James and Alchemist album, which should be reviewed sooner or later on the site. Keep looking at that. Yep, the album comes out, A Martyr's Reward, and like Ka fashion, usually artists like, is on there, just got it back for $20, which I get, it's just exclusive to that site only. I don't know when it goes on streaming. I hope soon, because I mean, because I got the money for it, or at least not now, but I probably should buy it. I don't know. I've been like, I should buy that shit. But yeah, that happened to be this weekend, apparently. And, there's not much worth noting here, to be honest.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, not really much. Although, I did finally beat Persona 4 Golden, and man, post-game Kanji looks fucking weird. Looks like fucking Denzel Crocker's crossing over with the angry video game nerd or something. But that's a tangent that no one cares about. Anyways, we can now dive into the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your weekly playlists. Now, starting right at the top here. Hey, kids! Remember Crown the Empire?
Not really.
Ooh. What do you mean, not really? You're telling me you don't recognize one of the most innovative bands from the slurry of early 2010s metalcore slop? Wow, how dare. Actually, who the fuck is Crown the Empire?
I think you just explained it. You answered your own question.
Huh, guess I did. Anyway, apparently whatever this band is that existed at one point is working on a new album at some point down the road. And we're only talking about this song here because it features guest vocals from Courtney LaPlante of Spirit Box. It's like when you only want to hang out with that one kid down the street because they have a trampoline. You know what I mean? We all know that person.
Yeah,
But the new single from them is called In Another Life, and yeah, this is 2010s metalcore. It's a thing that exists. Like I said, I'm only here because of the Courtney LaPlante feature, and of course she sounds fantastic, both in singing and screaming form, to the point where she's honestly kind of outshining both of the other vocalists on the track, to be honest, but... Or is it just one vocalist? These fucking bands always had, like, two guys doing the screams and cleans independently, because, I don't know, that was a trend, I guess. But outside of her appearance on it, this is just, I don't know, it's Hot Topic filler, I guess.
Yeah. I'll admit, I'm not totally well-versed in this band, but there's some solid enough metalcore work to be had here, and, you know, it's always pleasant to hear Courtney pop in, but the songs just kind of end. Like, you have a phenomenal chorus hook in the song, but it just ends with a pretty standard breakdown, and that's it. Like, it's not how I would have ended it.
Yeah, gotta love being anticlimactic. Suppose that's the genre in a nutshell, I suppose. Anyway, moving on to the next couple of tracks here, which, funnily enough, both come from the same source. So, first up, we have a new single here from Tierra Whack, where, much like some of her recent singles, she's cashing in and presumably getting a nice paycheck out of it. This time for contributing a song to the soundtrack of Madden 22, which, as we all know, is the hit sequel to the game Madden 08, which still remains the crowning achievement of the video game industry. Seriously, it was all downhill from there. Oh, you kids with your Nier Automatas and your Persona 5s and your Final Fantasy 14s, fuck that. Madden 08. But you get that Madden 09 shit out of my face. Anyway, the new Tierra Whack single is called 8. The game comes out this Friday, but the soundtrack's already out. And, I mean, it sounds like a football soundtrack thing. Something that you play in, like, an arena to get the audience pumped. Hopefully whatever team this would be analogous to gets a better deal out of it than whatever fucking basketball team lost that had her theme music. I already forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Sixers. Oh, yeah, the process failed. It's never coming back.
Oh, yeah. Damn, that's why she... Oh, that's right. Or at least she had a lot of, like, you know, stuff for sports ball and all that shit. And now with this, it's really like, you know, her brand on a soundtrack to a game that features music from people like Moneybagg Yo and 42 Doug and Spade with Jack Harlow. That's fitting. Which getting some work. I mean, I just wish some work. Which, you know, good for her. And it sounds like we give her like this weird ass beat production with not much percussion, just like a what I got just like a whole it's not what we expect from Tierra Whack at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm hoping we get like a proper new album soon, because honestly, I'm getting a little annoyed with all the cash and stuff. Like, look, I understand she's got to make pills too, but at a certain point, we need, more Whack World or even just titties in his face.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you got to do some, stuck with EA or Willow Smith, but we'd like to hear something of your own soon.
Yep. And moving on to the other contribution of note from the Men 22 soundtrack. Oh, hey, look at that. It's Denzel Curry. Now, that's something that can get you hyped for a sports event. The song is, of course, called The Game, and as you can imagine, it's not just about the game of Madden. Well, I don't think it really references football all that much, but anyways, it's really more about, like, the rap game, like, how he's the only, like, real one hustling his ass off, and everyone else is just fakes and shit. You know, he busts his ass to get where he is, writing the best bars, and all these motherfuckers are just posers buying, you know, fucking Gucci chains and shit. It's typical Denzel, but you know what? Banger. It's a fucking banger.
Yep, it's a banger. You know, it's a trip. The visual for the song, which is basically his own version of Madden, which is basically...
yeah, Madden 95 on the Genesis. So, personally... I would have gone with Madden 92, just because in that game there is an ambulance that when a player is injured, it'll just drive on the field and possibly run over the injured player, which is kind of funny in a dark way.
Oh yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah, I guess he grew up in 95. I guess he grew up in 95 since, you know, he was born there. He was born that year, I think, as far as I know. Yeah, and little details like ZZ Sports, Zeltronic Arts, Zeltendo, Zeltron 95. but yeah, it's a billion Denzel joint as usual. And he became a fan, at least, you know, fed this year with the, you know, with, you know, unlock 1.5, but it's not a good, you know, good single track for to a game that I'm pretty sure not that many motherfuckers buy. Madden ain't been much of a big talk since 08.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, EA's new modus operandi, virtual gambling. Can we just nuke the entire Western video game industry?
And give someone else the Dead Space remake. I don't want EA touching that after they killed the original developer. It's like fucking killing your prey and wearing their skin, just not like this.
Yeah, but the question is, who do we give it to? That ain't problematic.
Supergiant Games?
Hey, there's an idea.
Okay.
Actually, now that I think about it, an isometric Dead Space, now there's an idea. But this is not a gaming podcast, that's elsewhere. So, moving on to our next track here. So, brief little bit of a tangent. It was recently announced through the internet that Mr. Jason DeMarco has been named to the position of Senior Vice President for Anime and Action Series Long Form for Warner Brothers Animation and Cartoon Network Studios, helping facilitate the two entities in developing a multitude of animation projects, whether it be, you know, traditional Japanese animation or Western action-oriented animation for all audiences. I bring this up because, according to DeMarco himself over on Twitter, while he will still be involved with his duties over at Toonami, his involvement in Adult Swim as a whole will basically be dramatically minimized. Like, he won't be, you know, helping contribute to the look and feel of the block, or he won't be involved in the music side of things much anymore, per his words. Mm-hmm. Although, he'll still be in touch with the staff at, like, Adult Swim that's responsible for music compilations. You know, producers and staff members like Laura Sterrett, and hell, I'm pretty sure Dana Swanson was involved in a compilation at one point, if I recall correctly. I forget the specific one, but...
I think it was... I know it is. I can't remember the name of it. Fuck, I know it was some... There's like a... It was something involving Synthwave and all that shit.
That was the one.
I know something with that. Yeah, that one.
So, that's happening, which means... I'm sure Adult Swim singles and other compilations will be a good hand. Especially because apparently they'll probably still be consulting him, because per one producer's quote, "You don't want me picking hip-hop songs." You gotta rely on Jason for that particular taste. But, yeah, it's gonna be a weird thing to think about. Adult Swim's music side without Jason.
Ever since we got to Adult Swim singles, it's been like, I think since it all started. Like, it's gonna be weird, not like...
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I'm interested because this could, you know, open things up to, you know, even more varied artists and tastes that, you know, maybe DeMarco himself was not fully aware of. I'm intrigued. But right. With that tangent out of the way, we can now actually talk about this past week's entry into the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program, song number 15 from an electronic artist named Greenhouse. The track is called Morning Glory Waltz, and I don't really have much to say other than it's very quaint. That's the best word you could sum it up. It's just a series of ambient synths arranged into these very calming, pleasant melodies, almost kind of like a soothing, like, sci-fi documentary kind of thing, or kind of like 80s sci-fi documentary type stuff, with the occasional dose of string arrangements in there too, because, you know, it just exists to be calm and soothe your mind from the madness of the world.
How, you know what, I'm just gonna say very weirdly, this feels like some video game music you would hear from a Kingdom Hearts game. Kingdom Hearts was, Kingdom Hearts had the music of 1.6 Never, and it starred us.
I'm not sure how to process that. Give me a second. But go on.
Yeah, the whole thing sounds like, some music you would hear, like, let's say, okay, it's like the video music that you're in, like, a shop or something, you get stuff to upgrade your shit. That's what I think of when I hear this song. It's like, it's not bad. I can definitely hear it. I can hear this on a video game. I can hear this on like RPG type of game. Again, one that features us. Which this was us as Kingdom Hearts. Fuck it, I'd be Goofy. I don't know. One of y'all be Goofy. Which one of y'all be Sora? Fuck it. You're fucking Robin Sora, Alex, you're Donald.
Oh, don't insult Alex like that, man.
No. If I'm going to be anybody, I'm going to be Goofy. Because Goofy fucks.
Still the greatest mystery in the entire history of Disney canon. Who did Goofy fuck? Are we ever going to see, like, Goofy Movie 3 that tells us this?
Yeah. Also, tangentially related, there's a scene in House of Mouse show, put it up online, Disney, goddammit, in which, I haven't seen the movie in so long. What's her name? Roxanne?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a little something going on there. So, yeah. Again, I'm Goofy.
Yeah, but I'm not going to make Mark Donald in that case if I'm Sora. Mark's much more useful.
Okay,
fucking cast Thundaga already, you quacking fuck! But anyways, moving on to the next track here. So a while back, we got a short film / new single / music video from the band Trivium called In the Court of the Dragon. Honestly, I gotta see if that's like a movie title or something. That sounds like it would be a good movie. And, recently, in the past week, we got the announcement that there will in fact be a new Trivium album coming out October 8th titled, well, In the Court of the Dragon. And so to coincide with the album announcement, we have a new single here called Feast of Fire. And, yep, this is definitely a song that is written to be a metal radio single, alright? Its groove is fairly steady and straightforward. The structuring is pretty, you know, easy to understand. Verse-chorus, bridge solo thing, last chorus. The riffs and drum beats are steady, they're simple, they're overall melodious and catchy with the occasional scream in there. It's a single that does what it has to, I suppose.
Yeah, well, this is as straightforward as it could possibly get for a Trivium song, but I like this one more than the last one. I guess, you know, simplifying everything a little bit makes it a little better. Also, Matt having a buzz cut reveals how gigantic his ears are. Jeez.
Yeah. Holy shit. Not gonna lie, I always thought he looked like one of the guys from the Flash TV show. I think it was the guy that played the Reverse Flash in the first season. What was the guy's name? Harrison Wells. That was the dude's name. It's been a while since I've seen that show. But that's yet another tangent. So yeah, October 8th, but there's something coming a couple weeks down the road that's higher priority to some of us. Care to take the lead, Alex?
Yeah, all right, everybody. It is Prog O'Clock with some new long-awaited new material. I said new twice. Forget, screw it. From Dream Theater. And they have a new album out, A View from the Top of the World, out on October 22nd. Said to have positivity, progness, and 8-string guitar. Probably in like the 20-minute title track, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, we have the first track from the album here, The Alien. A 9.5-minute mini odyssey all about terraforming in space. Now, in terms of overall musical tone, it's got some heaviness to it. The drums have some slap and punch. The guitar cuts real, real good here. There is a brief musical interlude early on that gets reprised at the end, as it's the melody of for the final chorus, and I thought that was a pretty good touch. There are some comparisons to this between this song and the track Hypersonic from Liquid Session Experiment from earlier in this year. Listen to both, you'll probably figure something out about that. The solos from John Petrucci and Jordan Rudess are pretty wild, and the lyrics from James LaBrie on here almost sound like it could be a direct continuation to Pale Blue Dot from the last album. You know, how it's all centered around the great beyond of space and stuff. And special credit to Andy Snape, or Snap, or however you say their last name, I'm sorry, it's spelled weird. The forum producer guy. He is on board doing the mixing and mastering on this album. This track sounds great and dynamic and punchy and all those other adjectives. Hoo boy, the next 2 months for me are going to be loaded with fantastic albums. This will be the closer for this period. I can't wait.
Yeah, it basically hits about all the notes you could possibly want out of like your typical Dream Theater song. Some really nice heavy off-kilter riffing, plenty of that dense drum work, tons of melodic proggy soaring guitars, pianos and keyboards, prolonged solo sections, weird lyrics about, you know, space and aliens and terraforming and all that wonderful proggy good shit. We shall see what any subsequent singles tell us about the album when they drop. But with that out of the way, we'll move on to the last track here, which is, well, it's not a prog song. It's a single from an artist that, you know, has been pretty big in the past few years, and that is Lizzo. You know, 'Cause I Love You blew up in, like, 2019, and, well, I'm not sure if there is a new album that's being worked on. There always could be, but I didn't see any official word attached to the song or anything. But she's put out a pretty major new track called Rumors in collaboration with Cardi B. Now, as the title suggests, the song lyrically is all about people talking shit and spreading all kinds of rumors about Lizzo and, you know, Cardi B as well, and in particular. Although Lizzo, her attitude is, at least in a tongue-in-cheek way, to own up to all the rumors that people are saying about her and then fucking rubbing it in their faces, because honestly, listening to the way she says it, a lot of the rumors that people say about her honestly make her sound way more badass than they were probably intended to. And, you know, that's obviously a good thing, because Lizzo's kind of cool. Like, she kind of owns up to it in a very, like, yeah, you know, by, oh, you say I get groupies at my shows? Yeah, so what? And that beat, man, brass horns over hip-hop beats, you just can't beat that aesthetic. And Cardi's verses, I mean, it's Cardi, I guess it fits with the theme, she just bores me as a performer. Also, the whole Mount Olympus motif in this video is A+. Hey, Disney, there's an idea for your Hercules remake. Cast Lizzo in it. We dare you.
Yeah, I gotta say, you gotta find a good mix of brass beats to hip hop beats, and which mission is more popular to which. Which I'm glad it sounds like, you know, it sounds like what she usually sounds like, but more, you know, boastful, more, you know, more Walmart's a mission CVS, which it works for her. I like the bridge report. He said, they had me since school. Yeah, I never thought I was cool. Yeah, I mean, Cardi, we cool. Yeah, I love hoes on poles. Yeah, I am body goals. Yeah, this shit for my soul. Yeah, black people make rock and roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love that bridge. And I said, let's talk her shit because the most recent years, y'all been visiting her for the past year or so, considering y'all being y'all hear what the shit they people saying about her. Some lean to fat phobic and all that shit, and people are weird saying that this does mammy stuff, which what the fuck is a mammy, what the fuck is a, it's about being a mammy stereotype, like, huh?
I don't get you.
Like, y'all saying, like, Christian confused for white people. Like, no, she doesn't. Like, yeah, white people like the shit, but yeah, y'all either confuse me or just y'all know what the fuck y'all want. Yeah, y'all are people that bitch about Toonami. Y'all know what the fuck y'all want, or y'all think you know what you want, but you don't, or you just like to say stupid shit.
Yeah. But, anyway, that about does it for the new song discussions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news to discuss, so stay tuned. We're back. So, first up on the news topics here is the news of a group disbanding. In this case, it would be the synth-pop group Chromatics, who, well, most of us here, me at least, didn't become aware of them until showing up in the Adult Swim Singles program in 2015. Oh, all those years ago. When they were evidently promoting an album called Dear Tommy that has, yet to materialize.
One of those cases, I see.
Yeah, so here's what happened. So, the announcement was made by group members Ruth Radlett, who does vocals, guitar, and synthesizers for the group, Adam Miller, who's a guitarist as well as, you know, does vocoder stuff, and drummer Nat Walker. They announced, in their words at least, "After a long period of reflection, the three of us have made the difficult decision to end Chromatics. We would like to thank all of our fans and the friends we have made along the way. We are eternally grateful for your love and support. This has been a truly unforgettable chapter in our lives, and we couldn't have done it without you. We are very excited for the future and look forward to sharing our new projects with you soon." There's a problem with this statement. Notice how I specified exactly three people? Chromatics is a band with four people.
Yeah. The
fourth person being their engineer, programmer, producer, all their instrumental stuff, Johnny Jewel, who in fact is also the founder of the label Italians Do It Better, which has been the band's home since about 2007 up to now. Well, okay, so obviously the press reached out to Johnny Jewel, or at least a representative of him, since he was not in on this disbanding statement, and at least according to the Stereo Gum piece here, they were told via email that Johnny is extremely proud of his work with the project over the years, and he'll continue making music and supporting great art and artists through his label, Italians Do It Better. Then later on, there was an update from the label's co-founder, Mike Simonetti, who left the label in a flurry of controversy back in 2014, who took to Twitter and said, and I quote, "I have been receiving emails all morning from media people asking for a statement about Chromatics breaking up. All I have to say is, I've known about this for months, and I'm genuinely happy that they are out of there." That is very conspicuous wording. That's the kind of thing that, combined with the absence of Jewel's presence in these statements, implies that there's some shit happening. I don't know what kind of shit, but some kind of shit. By the way, when it says Flurry of Controversy 2014, I would like to point out that the band released an album called Kill for Love in 2012, and they didn't release a new album until 2019 with Closer to Grey. And of course, in that interim, there was supposed to be the Dear Tommy album. That just never happened. Hell, they announced it in December 2014.
Huh, 2014. Wow, and that's about 6-7 years ago, at least that come in December, which, wow, that is, there's a lot of shit happening down there. I mean, it's kind of a shame. Or I don't know, like, some of this weird shit happened because I've been home by them since 2011, to be honest, because I heard them on the Drive soundtrack. That's where I heard them from. Which you had to sound like, yeah, that's where I heard them from. And yeah, this whole situation. Oh shit.
Yeah, Drive. Man, a lot of shit happened in those intervening years. Remember when they showed up on the Twin Peaks revival? And they played that Adult Swim single?
I did heard about that.
And yeah, that was a pretty cool part of that show.
Yeah. I think they did some... I think one of the dudes, Johnny Jewel, he did some work for a movie from Ryan Gosling, I think. Or one of the motherfuckers from... I don't know. Like it was one of the movies that I heard that was kind of bad, but I don't know. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Obviously, it's someone that, you know, keeps busy in the meantime. But whatever the fuck is going on, it sounds like there's definitely some stuff that we're not hearing based on, you know, the information that is suspiciously absent. It is what it is, though. By the way, you know Chromatics had a new album out last year? I didn't know that.
Wait, they did?
I looked up their Wikipedia page just out of curiosity, and it said, Faded Now, an album that came out in 2020.
When did that happen?
2020, apparently.
The last thing I remember covering Chromatics related or anything at Tony Stupid related was the compilation they did, but wow, I didn't even know what they did. I don't know. I must have forgot it. 2020 was 2020, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a whole pandemic thing. But moving on from that news to something, a controversy that's obviously a lot more mainstream, especially in the past several months or so, as anybody who's been paying attention to the press, you know, pop culture and stuff, knows that there's been increased renewal in the horrific circumstances of pop singer Britney Spears' conservatorship. I'm actually not sure how that word is pronounced, but basically...
Conservatorship,
all right. Basically, in regards to the bullfuckery and lack of, you know, autonomy she has existing under the iron rule of her dipshit-ass father, Jamie Spears. And hearing all the details of what's going on is obviously enough to, you know, piss people off who were always pissed off from the beginning, as well as, you know... I'll freely admit, middle school idiots like me who just bought into the tabloid press at the time. One of those tough parts of growing up. You got to realize you were a dumb kid that didn't know shit about anything.
Yeah.
But with increased renewal interest in all of this, as well as increasingly mounting public pressure from a multitude of sources as more information become available, we could finally, and we're picking this back up from the teaser at the end of the monthly roundup, confirm once and for all, fuck you, Jamie Spears. Because in a recent development, he has agreed to step down from Britney Spears' conservatorship. Which is, you know, the first time that a good development has happened in the story in like 13 goddamn years.
Mm-hmm. The key word here, though, is will step down. But we don't know... when, because according to the parties involved and the courts involved, there are apparently other issues that have to be finalized before anything can really happen. And just having gone through all this stuff that's happened over the last just couple of weeks or even couple of months, this is an unequivocally fucked system we're dealing with here.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. Just Christ. Like, especially the part where she had to, like, fight for the right to, like, choose her own goddamn attorney. Because I guess some assholes thought she couldn't be trusted with that decision.
Yeah. And very important that we stress, we do not know what will happen next. This is a very fluid situation. Things are developing. Nothing has really developed in the last couple of days after this announcement, but in the lead up to, people were bailing left and right, and so it had to lead to this. But I don't think we're going to be hearing much about any further developments. All I've been able to find is that a request to change an upcoming court date in regards to the whole conservatorship deal from September 29th to August 23rd was denied, which is all kinds of fucked. So we don't know what's going to happen next. We're just going by reports that are very fluid and still ongoing.
Best case scenario, Spears gets to actually maintain some semblance of autonomy over her own life now. We can always have our fingers crossed for that. Her life,
her estate, her finances, all that has not been in her control. It's been awful.
Yeah, so, fingers crossed the best case scenario is what happens here. I mean, I can't really imagine it getting any worse than what it was. But, yeah, with that covered, now for the last topic here, which is the MTV Video Music Awards, which is scheduled to take place September 12th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. And from what I recall, the last time we talked about this, this is going to be an in-person show, I think.
Yes, although I'm pretty sure they're going to be operating it under the new guidelines in New York City that just went into effect. So, if you're clean, you're good. If you're not, you get to stay home.
Yeah, because places like New York and California are really instituting, you know, you got to be vaccinated or have negative COVID tests to do indoor stuff.
So far it's San Francisco, New Orleans, and New York City. Which makes sense because those are very highly populated people in very small densities of, area.
Oh, speaking of which, quick addendum to last week's news before we jump into the Video Music Award nominees. It turns out Live Nation, they're stepping up their game to the point where they themselves are fully requiring vaccinations and negative tests for performers, stagehands, audiences, etc., as well as AEG, which is the second largest concert promoter in America, just behind Live Nation. Those two entities, definitely not fucking around. So do you want to fuck around and find out?
Apparently some bands are, because we're getting positive cases every day now from some bands, and they're canceling shows, rescheduling shows. Jonathan Davis, did you get your shot? Please tell me yes.
He doesn't strike... Has he said anything anti-vaccine? I can't tell.
No, but the news came out that he tested positive. There's no word on, if it was, a breakthrough infection or not. So, I'm just left wondering.
All right.
Oh, and to the guy from Skillet, please shut the fuck up.
Imagine actually caring what the guy from Skillet thinks in the year of our Lord 2021. Apparently some people do. Why? Get a life.
What were we talking about again?
Oh, dumb MTV bullshit.
Yeah, that shit.
Oh. No wonder we got off track.
Anyway, let's run through the nominee list here. Of course, Video of the Year, Artist of the Year, Song of the Year, that'll be saved towards the end. So let's start with Best New Artist, presented by Mark Zuckerberg and his Zuckerbergness. Your nominees are 24K Golden, Giveon?
Yeah,
is that some new Pokemon I'm not aware of? That one dude from that one song that's all over fucking TikTok now, the kid Leroy.
This is the guy that broke BTS's reign on the Hot 100.
Unfortunately. This guy.
And this is also the man that, as we spoke about in the last roundup, released like 3 fucking deluxe versions of the same goddamn mixtape. Anyway, your other nominees are Olivia Rodrigo, Polo G, and, well, that chick that thinks a 4-for-4 meal at McDonald's counts as a special deal.
By the way, just because there's McDonald's near my work, $9
for all
that. What?
Yeah, pretty much $9. $9. Actually, and
hold the fuck up. $9 for that shit?
Okay. When they added that whole McDonald's charity thing, it's up to $10.
Oh God, fuck that! I'm going to Wendy's. Bro, you can.
And because of that, I'm going to root for the indie pop punk rock girl from the Disney Channel, Olivia Rodrigo, just because that album continues to have buzz and songs are being played on the radio all over the damn place.
Yeah, I finally actually got a chance to listen to Sour, and I'm like, yep, I think I get it. Olivia Rodrigo, let's go. Alright, there's some fucking push performance of the year shit. I'm not sure anyone really cares. Aside from the fact that Olivia Rodrigo's nominated in that as well for performance of Driver's License, and yeah, that. Best collaboration, 24K Golden Mood featuring Ian Dior. That fucking song. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. Yeah, it's WAP. Doja Cat featuring SZA, Kiss Me More. Drake's Laugh Now, Cry Later featuring Lil Durk. Justin Bieber. Peaches featuring Daniel Caesar and Giveon. And Miley Cyrus' Prisoner featuring Dua Lipa. Honestly, I'm rooting for WAP purely because of the meme factor of it all.
There is only one correct answer here. You all know what it is.
Yep.
If you say it's Moon, I'm going to smack you with a wooden spoon. I'm going to go full Italian, motherfuckers.
All right. Here's this pot. What's this full of?
That's what it sounds like. Anyway, anyone wants to cover the nominees for Best Pop?
Sure. So, for this category, we have Ariana Grande's Positions, Billie Eilish, Therefore I Am, BTS, Butter, Harry Styles, Treat People With Kindness, that friggin' Peaches song again,
yeah.
Olivia Rodrigo, Good For You, Shawn Mendes, Wonder, and Taylor Swift, Willow.
There are two directions I'm leaning here with this one. Either Billie Eilish or Olivia Rodrigo, because, you know, I have a soft spot for Paramore type shit.
Yeah, full credit, the pop scene has improved quite a bit in the last year or so, probably because we're doing more genre blending than just laying everything over friggin' processed trap beats, so I can see this going one of 4 ways, honestly. Ariana, Billie, Olivia, or even Taylor Swift. Maybe even BTS, because I know, you know, they're still big, they're still around, they're still getting all the everything.
Yeah.
But, get out of here, Shawn Mendes. Nobody cares about you anymore. We have grown past the need for you.
Anyway, now we move on to Best Hip Hop. Mark?
I'll take care of this one. Best Hip Hop, we got Macaroni in the Pot. That's some. Yeah, Quad B, Megan Stone, and WAP. Okay, we got Drake features Lil Durk, Laugh Now, Cry Later. Lil Baby, On Me Remix, featuring Megan Thee Stallion. Okay, wow. Moneybagg Yo, Says Something. Polo G, Rap Star. And Travis Scott, Franchise, featuring Young Thug M&A. The one song that got spotted by Christopher Nolan for some reason, because, I don't know, he worked because of some fool shit. That's all I remember. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's gonna go to WAP. Fuck it. It's WAP City.
Yeah, WAP. It's WAP all the way.
Yeah, that's the only one of these I'm actually good on. So yeah, go with that one.
Then of and course, that was a category that,
yeah.
Time for back to back Robin Alex Salt, Best Rock. Your nominees are Evanescence, Use My Voice, Foo Fighters, Shame Shame, John Mayer, Last Train Home. Holy shit, is that a motherfucker? Sorry, someone was choking me for a second because I was about to finish that phrase. The Killers, My Own Soul's Warning, Kings of Leon, The Bandit. Wait, Lenny Kravitz is still around? I thought he retired.
Yes.
But yeah, apparently there's a Lenny Kravitz song nominated, Raise Vibration. I don't care any of these.
Who honestly cares? All of these suck, I'm sorry. And yes, I know, but hey, Evanescence is on there. I don't care. That was not one of the better tracks of the album. These are all bad. These are all bad picks. Spirit Box is right there, guys.
Yeah, but
pay attention.
You know, that has more musical complexity than the MTV crowd is used to, and that scares Papa Viacom and their money that they definitely have, apparently.
Ugh.
Anyway, then even more not giving a fuck, Best Alternative. Your nominees are Bleachers, Stop Making This Hurt, How Apt.
Okay.
Glass Animals with Heat Waves, Imagine Dragons, Follow You, Machine Gun Kelly, My Ex's Best Friend, featuring Black Bear, 21 Pilots, Shy Away, and Transparent Soul by Willow. Again, I don't care.
I cannot bring myself to care about any of this. Not like it's gonna be on the main program anyway, so nobody cares. Nobody wins. I wish these people would try, but... apparently, this is what counts as the top picks in the alternative rock scene nowadays, which, sure, why not? Who cares?
Yeah, of course, there's Best Latin as a category. Your nominees are Bad Bunny and Jhay Cortez for Ducky T? I'm not sure how it's pronounced, Of course, there was that collaborative track between Billie Eilish and Rosalia with Lo Vas a Olvidar. Black Eyed Peas and Shakira. God, I can't believe in the year of our Lord, 2021, Black Eyed Peas are still around. Why? Anyway, Black Eyed Peas and Shakira with Girl Like Me. J Balvin, Dua Lipa, Bad Bunny again, and Tiny with Un Día. Karol G with Bichota, I think that's how it's pronounced, and Maluma with Hawaii, or Hawaii, or something. Anyway, who cares? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Man, so, get a Pantanos girl.
Of course.
Sure. Sure, why not?
Okay. By technicality.
Yeah. And now, we go to Best R&B. Which, okay, I'll take care of this. Nominees are Beyonce, Blue Ivy, St. John, Wizkid, Brown Skin Girl, That One Nigga and Young Thug Go Crazy, Giveon with Heartbreak Anniversary, Her, Come Through, featuring Chris Brown.
Why is he nominated twice in this category?
SZA, Good Days. And the weirder, because I said so, it took Sonic leave the door open, because fuck you, that's why.
It absolutely better be.
Otherwise, we will not live in a just world.
No, also, we will instead live in a society.
Yeah. And also stream Skate. Or do something to make it to the top five again. Make it big, was what I'm saying. Shit.
Yep. Then there's the category of best K-pop.
Oh, hey, it's the BTS award.
Yep.
I mean, they're nominated, and I don't think they have much competition, because when your competition includes, like, G-Idol, I think that's how it's pronounced, that awful Blackpink Selena Gomez collaboration.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Twice with Alcohol Free, 17 with Ray to Love, and I guess Monsta X has some fans. Look, either way, this is BTS through and through.
Yeah, it's gonna go to BTS because it's BTS because they're unstoppable force.
Yep. Now, in the Video for Good category, your nominees are Billie Eilish with Your Power, Demi Lovato Dancing with the Devil, Her Fight for You, Kane Brown with Worldwide Beautiful, Pharrell Williams featuring JC for Entrepreneur, and the winner is Lil Nas X with Montero.
It better be.
Like, it's too obvious for it not to be the winner. Like, you're going to see that name come up quite a bit more, because, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll say this. I got two choices that I think should deserve to win. Lil Nas X and, you know what, I'll give it to her if her wins it, like, I mean, even though she won it before, it's like, yeah, I'll give it to her, like, that song was good. Plus, I'd rather her win for something with this instead of, I don't know, the one song featuring the other motherfucker.
Yeah. How did that even happen in the first place?
Label mates.
Oh, right.
Good. Contractual obligations. How fun.
Yeah. But now we're about to dive into all the technical categories. So for Best Direction, your nominees are Billie Eilish, Your Power, directed by Billie Eilish. Pop Star, DJ Khaled featuring Drake from Director X.
That shit sucked.
Of course, there's Montero, which was directed by both Lil Nas X and Tanu Muino. Taylor Swift, Willow, directed by Taylor Swift. Travis Scott, Young Thug, MIA franchise, directed by Travis Scott. And Lumberjack by Tyler, the Creator, directed by Wolf Haley.
A.K.A. him. Hey, all these tracks are just directed by the same people. Minus for DJ Khaled, because he don't do nothing by himself.
Yeah, that just hit me, you know, that all these directors, these stars are directing their own videos. I didn't realize they had that skill set. Either way, I'm rooting for either Tyler, the Creator, or Lil Nas X. Or Billie Eilish. I will be okay with those three. If it goes to DJ Khaled, the city burns.
Does he do anything? By chance.
If it goes to the guy that directed the Superfly remake, that's
oh, God. I don't know. At this point, I'm convinced DJ Khaled just licenses his name out like Tom Clancy does for video games.
Except Tom Clancy's dead. And Ubisoft actually bought his likeness many years ago.
Oh, God, right.
Nuke the Western game industry. For the good of humanity.
Anyway, in the category for Best Cinematography, there's Beyonce, Blue Ivy, St. John, and Wizkid for Brown Skin Girl. Cinematography done by Benoit Soler, Malik H. Saeed, Mohamed Adda Ahmed, Santiago Gonzalez, and Ryan Helfand. Billie Eilish with Therefore I Am, cinematography by Rob Witt. Foo Fighters, Shame Shame, cinematography by Santiago Gonzalez. Justin Bieber featuring Chance the Rapper, Holy, cinematography from Elias Talbot. Lady Gaga with 911, cinematography by Jeff Cronenworth. and Lord's Solar Power from Andrew Stroud. I don't know. I'd say Therefore I Am. That was a pretty interesting shot video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got nothing else for this. Like,
Best art direction. We have Beyonce Chatawale, or Wale, and Major Lazer for Already. Art direction credit to Susan Linz and Gerard Santos. Ed Sheeran for Bad Habits. Art direction by Allison Dominitz. Lady Gaga, 911. Art direction by Tom Foden and Peter Andrus. Lil Nas X, Montero. Art direction by John Rochow. Saweetie featuring Doja Cat, Best Friend. Art direction by Art Haynes. Taylor Swift, Willow. Art direction by Ethan Todman and Regina Fernandez. Montero, moving on.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Best visual effects. That one really popular chick on TikTok, Bella Porch, build a bitch. There's a lot of fucking visual effects here, so streamline that. Oh god, Coldplay. Higher Power.
Why?
I just posed that on principle. Doja Cat and The Weeknd for You Right, with a whole bunch of people doing effects work. Lil Nas X, Montero, visual effects by Mathematic, who apparently also did the Coldplay video. And Pink, All I Know So Far. Again, Montero.
Yeah. There's also a Glass Animals track here, but, like, who cares?
Oh, shit, there was. I thought it was just mixed in with, like, the Doja Cat shit, but anyway. Best choreography. Meh. Then, of course, there's best editing, which is the last of the technical categories, and you have BTS with Butter, editing from Young Silk Choi. I'm pronouncing that horribly, I'm sorry. Drake for What's Next, editing by Noah Kendall. Harry Styles, Treat People with Kindness by Claudia Wass. Justin Bieber, Daniel Caesar, Giveon Peaches, edited by Mark Mayer and Vinnie Hobbs. Miley Cyrus and Dua Lipa, Prisoner, edited by William Town at Modern Post. And Silk Sonic, Leave the Door Open, edited by Troy Charbonnet. Or Carbonet. Charbonnet.
Yeah, Silk Sonic, let's go.
Yep. Then, of course, there's the big three. There's Song of the Year, Artist of the Year, and Video of the Year. Does anyone want to take Song of the Year to start off?
I will. So, for Song of the Year, which I guess has little to do with the videos and more to do with the song, so, okay, cool. We have 24K Golden, Move featuring Ian Dior, BTS, Dynamite, that song still has legs, Cardi B, Mack Trucks featuring Megan Thee Stallion, you know what it is, Dua Lipa, Levitating, featuring Nobody. Olivia Rodrigo, Driver's License. And Silk Sonic, Leave the Door Open.
Now, I will be fully upset if 24K Golden wins. That's the only one that I think I'd be actively mad about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, everything else, if BTS wins, well, I expect that. If Cardi B wins, all right, cool. Dua Lipa wins, I'd be conflicted. It's like, well, at least we'll feature the other motherfucker. Leroy Rigo wins, well, okay. So Sonic wins.
Yeah, considering the one bum note, there's just one bum nominee, the rest of the nominees here are more solid than average. I'm betting it'll go to WAP. That's just my guess.
Which I'm okay with.
All right, then that leaves two more. Mark, you want to do Artist of the Year?
Okay. Yeah, Artist of the Year, and the nominees are Ariana Grande, Doja Cat, Justin Bieber, Megan Thee Stallion, Olivia Rodrigo, and Taylor Swift. So basically, not just a beaver. There you go.
pretty much. Also, maybe not Doja Cat, just on principle.
Oh, yeah, I'm back and forth between Megan Thee Stallion and Olivia Rodrigo on who's actually going to take it. I could see it going either way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then that just leaves a video of the year. Your nominees are Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion with WAP, DJ Khaled and Drake with Popstar, Doja Cat featuring SZA, Kiss Me More, Ed Sheeran, Bad Habits, Lil Nas X, Montero, Call Me By Your Name, and The Weeknd with Save Your Tears. So the way this, it's either going to be the very, very horny music video, or the very, very horny music video. Which one is which? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, how does it be when your nominee says starring Justin Bieber? Like, because right. Wait, really? Okay. I get video of the year, which he was on the video, which I still don't get why. But yeah, there's like a half of these are stuff that we give a shit about. I mean. You got WAP, got Lil Nas X, The Weeknd maybe?
That would be an interesting third option. I wouldn't be mad if that took the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why is Ed Sheeran here and nowhere else?
He's a bench warmer?
I mean, pretty much.
That's I got.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is your nominee list. It sure is a list, all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. At least there's two pretty good music videos for Video of the Year, mainly the ones that inspired the most hashtag discourse on the internet. I won't be mad if either of them take it. I'm personally rooting for Lil Nas X. But,
mm-hmm.
God, do not give it to DJ Khaled.
No. Brooklyn will burn to the ground if that happens. Not really, but, you know.
All the way down.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens on September 12th, which, let me just take a look. What else is happening on that day? Oh, that's right. That's the first week of the NFL season. Well, say bye to those ratings, MTV. It's going to tank like hell.
Oh, yeah, it's also my boyfriend's birthday.
It's all as planned. It's all coming together. It's all a gigantic coalition to make sure we kill this goddamn abomination of an awards show forever, just like all the others.
Yep.
All according to Keikaku.
Yep. At least Dina was more fun to thinking about it. At least they nominate The Weeknd for something, unlike a certain, other certain show.
You will die next, Grammys. Just as soon as we're done taking out the Golden Globes.
The Grim Reaper meme .png. Knock, knock, motherfuckers. Alright, now that that business is out of the way, one more thing to take care of here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of August 20th, 2021. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Wolves in the Throne Room with Primordial Arcana. We have the newest studio album from Between the Buried and Me with their surprise sequel to Colors with Colors 2. There's the new Deaf Heaven Turn Towards Full On Shoegaze with Infinite Granite. Supposedly, there's a new Trippie Redd album coming out this weekend called Trip at Night. There's a new album from Sturgill Simpson with The Ballad of Dude and Juanita. And last but certainly not least, there's the new Lorde album, Solar Power.
And And just so you know, no, we don't know when Donna will be released again, so it shit might change. However, the album I am interested in, that's called A Marshall Ward, we don't know yet because we got to make, because I don't know, it might come a streaming a week later. Okay, that's why I don't give a shit about now that I wonder if it's going to be streaming. Fuck Donna, I'll give a shit about this.
Just release it so we can get it over with, Kanye, god damn it.
Yep. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I continue to ask why to everything involving Evangelion, because why?
Why indeed. Mark, what about you?
As usual on Twitter, and not yet Yak, back to Apple Media. And of course, my site, thatmyhappywonderworks.com. Recently, I talked about my first impression of that new Toonami show, Fena, Power Princess. I like it. Really did.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever something goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can have conversations about miscellaneous things and also post memes. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll of course be back next week with more of the usual business. So until next time, pirates, that is all.